Welcome to a special episode of The Rod Kirby Show. Today I'm chatting with the cast of Down Bad. We talk about their favorite episodes, what made them jump on board the project, how their characters would evolve in season 2, and much more. Stick around towards the end for a quick game of Down Bad Fast Money. Enjoy the show. Hello and welcome to The Rod Kirby Show. I'm your host, Rod Kirby. Thank you so much for joining me on this evening. Today, we have a very special, special episode. We have a roundtable with the cast of Down Bad. Down Bad is a really awesome, very awesome, independently produced series by Jerron Lockridge. Actually, absolutely loving the show right now. It's got 9 episodes. I am on episode number 4. We'll be watching 5 and 6 and probably binging the other rest on tomorrow. So before we get into the show, let's take a sneak peek at the trailer for the show and then come back and introduce the cast.
Nothing around about this motherfucker.
Zo, chill out.
Cedric! Lorenzo outside waiting for you.
That boy selling dope, man. I mean, he never here. How you gonna make some money?
You know how it go, bro.
I feel it.
But look, though. You wanna get some get back?
Shit, I'm riding with you till the wheels fall off. I just can't move how you be moving on the thing.
Or make you feel like you're a failure.
I want to tell you about Colin first.
Well, look, I was in the neighborhood, all right? That's all.
Daddy came by last night.
Nigga did some shit like that to me, I want to do something to him. You want to do something to me?
Y'all niggas can't be serious right now. So that's what we gonna do. We cowboys tonight, huh? You just know this shit gonna work. Say, you can't be this stupid right now.
Look, man, Brain, real talk, bro. Look, I love you, but I need you to shut the fuck up, bro.
All right, bet. Look, cause you two motherfuckers are on a suicide mission.
So everything good?
Good shit, everything good. I can count this money with my eyes closed. Yeah, I can count this money with my eyes closed. I can count this money with my eyes closed. I can count this money with my eyes closed.
Just like that, like that, like that, like that,
like that. I can count this money with my eyes closed.
Just like that, like that, like that, like that, like that.
I can count this money with my eyes closed.
Okay, that was the trailer for Down Bad. I want to welcome the cast of Down Bad who are joining me today. We have Jaleb Moffitt, who's playing Brain, a.k.a. Brian Miller. We also have Michael Gordon III, who's playing Cedric Woods, and Miss Malika Plummer playing Larissa. Say hello, Larissa.
Hello, hello.
And we have Miss Wendy Oliver as Ma Jean. And last but not least, of course, writer, director, and producer Jerron Lockridge is joining us. Well, thank you guys for being on the show today. How you doing?
I'm good.
Awesome. Awesome. Look, I'm so excited for y'all. This is an awesome, awesome project to be a part of. You know, Jerron, I talked to you before about this, but I just want to hear from your lips one more time. What was the inspiration for the series?
It was something that I've been trying to get off. It's just a personal project, some stuff that, you know, kind of remember growing up and, you know, witnessing myself. And it was something that I've been trying to write, you know, just to get off the ground for a while, and just could never do it because I felt it wasn't authentic enough to the experiences the way I, you know, experienced them. So it's just something I decided to write, and we put it out there.
That's awesome, man. You know, I think when I watched the pilot and I did the review of the pilot, you know, I said that you know, and your leads are like it's like magnetic. Their chemistry is so it came so naturally. Mr. Jalen and Mr. Michael, what do you think about the chemistry? Have y'all met before? Have you ever worked with each other before? Was this the first project that you kind of came together on?
We actually have worked before. We've done projects with Adrian Dent, and it was I'm trying to think of the other people. It was other projects that we work on, but mainly I remember we worked on Adrian Dent's films and for me, as far as the chemistry and stuff like that, it was natural and stuff like that. Cause you know, Jalen and you know, Dre and you know, many other people out here in Memphis that do film and stuff. I get along with them very, very well. And I relate with them and stuff. And, you know, even though I'm playing a character who's, you know, a little bit outside of who I really am in real life, you know, the chemistry was just there, you know, it wasn't a difficult thing. So
Jalen, you and Michael and Dre, Michael said that you guys worked together before. Have you worked with Dre before as well?
Actually, I've been working with those guys since 2017. We worked with a guy named Adrian Dent on Red State. Yeah, I think that was my first time doing something with Michael. But me and Dre, we've been in plays with Princeton Eccles. Oh yeah. Throughout 2017.
Okay, so basically the chemistry came pretty natural for you guys, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It did.
That's awesome, Wendy. First of all, love how sparkly and bedazzled you look. I love your background; it's very chic. Love it. How are you doing, darling?
I am great. Pleasure to be here with you all tonight.
Awesome. Now we know that Majin is. She's filled with the Holy Ghost and sanctified, and she may cuss just a little bit. But how did you prepare for that character when you read the role?
Actually, I had to ask Jay. I was just like, okay, what kind of grandmama am I? Am I like Wendy Raquel Robinson or am I Loretta Devine? And we kind of had to tweak her a little bit, but I ended up, I think, a little bit more of Loretta Devine.
Nice.
Yeah.
Is this one of your most favorite characters you've ever played? Because it looks like you're having fun whenever you're on screen.
You know what? This is actually my first time on the small screen. I've been an extra on the big screen a lot. So, you know, first of all, I'm just grateful for the opportunity. But yeah, so it'd have to be my favorite thus far. You know, just being able to find a character and actually, you know, do some character study and, you know, the wig and the, you know, that's why I'm dressed like this now, so I can look a little bit closer to my age. And also, she was a little bit older than I am. So, that really was part of the, you know, just the fun of creating the character and not really knowing who I was portraying, but just knowing that I was portraying somebody real. So, yeah, and that, you know, like you said, I love Jesus, but I cuss a little.
Just a little bit. It's okay. You know, Jesus had wine. We can have wine.
Yeah, that part wasn't too far from the truth. So,
Malika, who is Larissa and why is she so important in Sed's life? Yeah. I'm sorry, Brian's life.
Brian, yeah. So Larissa is the girlfriend of Brian. And you can tell throughout the series that she's been there, like she's been there through the trenches with him.
Right.
And, you know, they're getting on their feet. You know, he's starting his own business and she's there to support him. She's very independent. She has her own thing going on, but she's closely, you know, bonded with Brian and wants to see him succeed. So that's who I play. I'm pretty much like his anchor, you know, trying to keep him grounded while he's experiencing these, you know, turbulences with his friends where he's challenged on his decision making.
Wow. Yeah. Jaron, with production, the last time I talked to you during our interview, I didn't get a chance to ask you this, but how long did you have production days? How many days did you shoot? And how long were those days? Were you guys working 24/7 around the clock like Hebrew slaves or what?
I think in total for this one, it was 21. And I hardly ever, I believe most of the days, probably around 8 hours, I hardly ever go over 12 hours on set. Just because I don't, after so long, you know, I feel like people get tired and, you know, you kind of lose that quality of performance because, I mean, you're tired and exhausted. So I just hate to go over 12 hours if I can totally help it. But sometimes you have to, but I don't think we went over 12 hours on this set. Well, actors and individually, I did, of course. Because I'm doing your thing.
Right.
You know, I think we pretty much kept it under 12 hours, mostly 8 hour days and sometimes shorter than that.
Yeah, I know for me, I like to, I'll work 8 hours, and if we got to go to 12, you know, so be it. But man, I got a kid now, I got a family, I like to eat with my family, you know. I don't want to eat on set, I don't want to, you know, be on set all day. I like to get on out of there. So
I can totally understand.
Yes. Open question to everyone here. When you read the script, what really struck out to you about the character that you read, and what made you want to jump on to this production? You guys just, you know, answer in any order that you want to.
I guess I'll go first. For me, with Brian, I feel like he was the guy that, you know, always had a say so. And when reading the script, like, I'm the guy with the best advice or the good advice from the best friend or that I'm that guy.
Yeah, so you kind of got the anchor head on there.
Yeah, I put Brian into that perspective when reading the script. He was kind of like that guy and that was after the fact. When Jerron told me who Brian really was, so yeah, that's what I got with Brian.
Okay, anybody else?
I'll go. What really struck out to me as far as Cedric was, you know, just the amount of similarities that me and him have and stuff like that. You know, the idea of, you know, the fact that he's somebody who's constantly going through inner suffering, you know what I'm saying? Somebody that nobody understands.
Right.
And he hates the idea of the fact that people just can't understand his pain. He hates the idea of, you know, feeling like he has no place in this world, even though he has a daughter and even though he's trying to do better for himself from the best of his ability. And I can relate to that. You know, I can relate to somebody who's trying to better themselves and somebody who's struggling and always, you know, somebody who's at war with themselves and on the inside, you know, depressed. You know, I've suffered from depression. I've suffered from depression for a while, you know, since I was, I would say, 12, maybe 13 years old. And I remember going through a tough time. And before I got my new car and stuff, I was going through a tough time. And, you know, I remember my girlfriend talking to me and she was like, hey, you know, this is meant for you. You know, you are, in a sense, if you think about it, you know, looking at the details of Cedric, you know, you know, she was telling me, she was like, "Bae, in a sense, you are Cedric and Cedric is you, you know, and you can, with this character, you can figure out a way to, with this character, you're not just bringing him to life. You're showing the audience and resonating aspects of yourself through this character when you're playing him, you know, and that's what really struck out to me. And I've been grateful ever since to work with Jerron and work with all these great and talented people. It's been a blessing, and you know, I can't wait to, you know, hopefully do it again one day. It was such a blessing.
Thanks,
Malika. What struck out to you about the script and made you want to jump on the project?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's relatable, right? I mean, I think for me, you know, I am that woman that stays down while you're down bad or you're up, you know? So I could easily relate to Larissa, you know, being there for her man, you know, going through things that you don't understand that a man goes through, that a Black man goes through.
Right, right.
And trying to navigate that, you know, as a Black woman, and trying to be strong without breaking at the same time. And so I was able to really tap into her character because, as I said, it's relatable. Mm-hmm. You know, everything wasn't to the T. I haven't experienced the exact same experience.
Right.
But as far as just the core of who Larissa is, just standing by her man no matter what, mm-hmm. you know, I can definitely relate to that. I know other women can relate to that. So I find Larissa to be a character that, you know, the audience should be able to really identify with.
Hmm. And what about you, Miss Wendy?
Well, honestly, it was just kind of easy because I don't even know what the ages are for Jalen and Michael and Dre or whichever, but I am a mother of a 24-year-old Black mm-hmm. male. So still, I just had that motherly instinct. So, you know, it just kind of fell right in place. Yeah. So that part was kind of easy, but just reading the script, just to read the story and the ups and downs and everything that goes on in the story, mm-hmm. you know, even in table reads, I was like, what happened? Wait a minute. I missed that. You know, it was mm-hmm. things that I heard, like when we were actually acting it out, that I either skipped or just, you know, didn't even see in the on paper. Mm-hmm. And also just seeing it come into fruition is just really intriguing.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's gotta be pretty cool to have these kind of characters kind of almost tailored to you in a way. I wonder if that was on purpose, Jerron. Did you write these characters for these actors, or did they just kind of come together, kind of like butt cheeks, kind of perfect?
I mean, for the most part, because I mean, other than my wife and maybe my brother, mm-hmm. I mean, I don't, you know, have that, you know, I won't not. I say help, you know, so a lot of times I hate doing casting calls because it's just overwhelming. I just can't do it. So when I write, I usually write with certain people in mind. Mm-hmm. And Dre and Jalen, I had them, you know, like immediately when I thought of the characters, they popped up first. Mm. And then I was thinking of Mike and I kind of called Draylen. It was, you know, because I've never worked with Mike before. And he mm-hmm. was like, man, yeah, you know, he'll do awesome in it. So I contacted Mike. I saw Malika. I think she posted, I want to say in the Memphis film group. And I was mm-hmm. like, Larissa. So I contacted her, Wendy. It's first time we worked together. I saw her and a good friend of mine, Kyle Topkin. I knew she worked with him before. So I called and, you know, I like checking my references and see, hey, you know, how's this person, this and that. And he's like, she'll be awesome. So mm-hmm. I hit her up next. So a lot of the way I operate, I usually try to, it helps me to write, to think of certain people.
Right.
And, you know, I usually do that when I cast as well. So it just makes it a whole lot more easier.
Yeah, I do the same thing. Usually have someone in mind for a role. But a lot of times, man, this last project, I kind of threw a fish out there to see who I would get for this Father Heyman part. And I got so many different auditions, and what made the actor that got the part was G. Tremaine Mero. What made him stand out was he was so different from everybody else. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, that's my guy right there. So yeah. I think I'm more willing now to kind of not totally not, you know, write for people, but, you know, kind of see what else is out there and be willing to let people in.
Yeah. Speaking of let amazing, people by in, the way.
Well, thank you. He's a very creepy dude. Very, very creepy. And he's a cool dude in real life, but creepy laugh. And speaking of let in, guess who just arrived? We have Dre, who is now frozen for some reason down here. Yeah, he's frozen. Okay.
A few moments later.
Zozo.
Need earbuds too.
Yeah, okay.
You hear us, man?
Moments later.
Man, I'm gonna take it as if y'all said something to me, but it's kind of skipping around at the moment.
More moments later.
He logged in on a BlackBerry, didn't he?
Right.
Man. I think it's a razor. You got a Nokia. I think it's a razor, Jerron.
Don't do the sidekick.
You need to buy a phone from the auction next time.
Okay, so Jerron,
mm-hmm.
with the show, it seems like it doesn't seem like there's really a central character. It kind of almost seems like everybody's on the same footing and we're kind of seeing their stories kind of collide through different perspectives. Is that accurate, or do you have a central character in mind for the series?
Well, that's kind of how I wrote it. I wanted the situations. I didn't want it to just base it on anything, to be honest with you. I wanted to kind of let the characters lead it. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, whatever situation lended itself. And, you know, here and there, I would have to install little plot devices to kind of push the story along, to kind of, you know, make it thrilling or whatnot. But a lot of it was just me writing just off the head. This was the first story where I didn't outline it or nothing. I just kind of went to writing, and, you know, this something that's scary for me, somebody who's so prepared and who likes to, you know, do stuff with a structure. Right. And I just let these characters just kind of lead me from episode one. You know, I really didn't know how episode two, where it was going to go. And then when I got to episode two, like literally every episode just, you know, led to the next. And that's just kind of the formula. And I feel like it worked.
Yeah.
I guess we'll see. But that's just kind of the first time I've ever just did a project that I didn't thoroughly plan through an outline and just let the characters pretty much lead the story along.
Yeah, I think it worked because, I mean, it's like they're getting into these situations, but it's so natural. You know, it's not necessarily forced. Mm-hmm. It kind of feels like this is kind of the natural progression of each character. And this is where they're supposed to go. And this is how the characters would react to those situations. So I like it. I think you did a great job, man.
I appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Open question for everyone. What's your favorite episode? And if you can, please avoid spoilers. I don't want to spoil it for anyone, but just kind of give me a general idea of what your favorite episode is. Let's start with Miss Wendy.
Honestly, I haven't caught up. I've been so busy this week. I planned on binging the last five this morning, but just knowing, I think it's episode 9, because that's the time I actually get to sing, and I wasn't ridden to sing. Mm-hmm. And actually, you know, being a vocalist is my top genre, as far as, you know, when you're just vocalist, actress, model, other things that I do. So given opportunity to come in and sing. And then, of course, gospel being my main genre of music, you know, we kind of had a little church that day. So it was
natural. Did she show out?
Out. Okay. I can't wait for everybody to see episode 9.
What about you, Mike? What's your favorite episode thus far?
I would say episode 9 as well. And the reason why, try not to spoil it, I would say why is because, you know, with watching the entire season and every single episode and, you know, really seeing the way things have picked up and stuff like that. And then you get to the season finale and it's like, whoa, we weren't expecting that, you know? And I really like episode 9 because of that. I feel like when people, you know, if you watch it, you know, you get a sense of like, oh man, this, you know, like it was supposed to turn out this way. It turns out, you know, it's going that way in this direction, you know? So man, it's like, what's after this? You know, so episode 9, that's the reason that's my favorite.
Okay. So. Malika?
Yeah, for me, I think I like episode 7 only because I think that's when the pace starts to pick up for most of the characters. So from each perspective, it's like that suspense is now building. They're like, oh my God, what's going to happen? You know what I mean? Right. Like, oh, now they're deep in this mess and, you know, he's having relationship issues. What's going to happen next? So they have to tune in to see the specifics of that, but definitely, I think episode 7. Yeah, that's the eye catcher there. Definitely.
Jalen.
I think it's gonna be either episode 8 or 9. It's can't spoil it. But it's a scene that I really, really, really enjoyed doing. And this probably was, this is my first time doing a scene like this on camera. And
yep, it was a love scene. You heard it right here, folks. It was a love scene.
Heard it right here, folks. It was
a love scene.
It was me showing that I cared for somebody. So
we don't know if he actually had someone in the scene with him, but it's a love scene.
Yeah, I showed that I care for this person deeply. So, me doing that scene, like, I think we gonna probably draw some tears up out of this
one. Okay, that's what's up, man. And Jerron, I already know your answers, like all of them, right? they're all your favorites, right?
I really don't know yet, to be honest with you, because you really? know the for me, I don't know if it's the same for you because you're a filmmaker as well. It's you kind of get numb after looking at the project a billion times, you know, because mm-hmm. I've been, you know, trying to create it and edit it and get it ready. I haven't really had time to enjoy it for myself. So I don't know yet. It's to be determined, to be honest with you.
Now, I understand that. And like I just had a screening for my short film, The Prayer, and I'm watching it, but I'm not really watching it. It's like, okay, I know what's coming up. I know that's going to happen. Hope they enjoy it, but all I can see like the things I wish I could change.
Yeah, exactly.
The things I wish I had money to do better.
That's the curse of being a filmmaker. Right? You can't even enjoy regular movies. You're looking at how did they do that? How did they do this instead of just enjoying the work? And you
know, I wonder how much that camera costs. I wonder how much that lens costs. You know, I can't afford it, but it's nice to dream, you know?
So hopefully after I detach from the project a little bit and just go back in, I can probably bring an answer to that one.
Yeah, you'll probably, you know, it'll probably hit you while you're sitting on the toilet or something. You'll just say, oh my God,
that was my
best series. This is awesome.
Yeah. But I mean, it's a joy watching them all because I promise you, like, the performances from everybody. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is the first project where I believe every single performance I loved. Like, it was, you know, it wasn't one like, man, I think I should have cast that differently, nothing like that. It was everyone, you know, it just felt true to the character, and you could just tell they put the work in, and I, you know, I enjoyed looking at them on screen. And like the scene that Jalen's talking about, I believe that you know, a lot of people are going to enjoy it when they see it. And the end of episode 7, if you've seen it yet, like those performances is what put this series along.
Jerron, next two questions are for you. What kind of feedback have you been receiving from the indie film community and just fans in general for the series?
You know, one thing about my projects, it's hard getting feedback. I usually have to go to everybody else's page and see what people are saying and stuff like that. But so far, I mean, the feedback that I have gotten has been positive. You know, everybody's just talking about the authenticity of it. And, you know, that was kind of my goal. Making a project like this is, you know, I wanted everybody to feel like, you know, I know that person that happens to me. You know, I just wanted everybody to feel like everything was real or something that happens every day. So that was, you know, the best feedback that I could get is that it's authentic.
Mm. Any plans for a season 2 or even more seasons?
Yes, hopefully. You know, it depends on the success of this one. To be honest with you, you know, I have a soft outline to kind of, you know, give me a direction for season 2. But it's in the plans. It just depends on, you know, the success of this one and how it goes. And we'll go from there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Open question for everyone here. If there's a season 2, how do you think your character should evolve? What do you think they should be doing in the next season? Let's go to Miss Malika.
That's a good question. Definitely I would like to see Brian and Larissa's relationship get stronger. So definitely, you know, upgrading in some way, shape, or form. I know it was kind of like, you know, he was just kind of starting out, but you know, definitely branching out because I'm a nurse as well. And then he's a barber. So definitely, like I said, just bringing our relationship stronger in her character. And then, I mean, maybe even, you know, taking a deeper dive just in from the woman's perspective a little bit more into the next series. So following her on a day-to-day in some instances.
Okay. Michael, what you got, sir?
With Cedric, I would like to see Cedric, you know, evolve from, you know, just, I would like to see him evolve from, you know, just allowing the suffering to, you know, seize him and seize control of his actions to, you know, pretty much learning to control himself and have a steadier mindset when it comes to what's right and what's wrong. Because I feel like a lot of times we struggle with that. A lot of times, you know, we as people, we get lost with, you know, the harsh realities of life, and
right,
we find ourselves finding it difficult to remain the good person that we are on the inside and out. Mm-hmm. And I feel like Cedric has had that problem for a very long time. And a way I'd like to see him evolve is, you know, just to keep pushing, but at the same time, you know, don't be afraid to make the right decision and try to, you know, do what's best, not just for him, but for the people that he cares about. And, right, you know, just keep pushing and keep trying to get out of that negativity phase, basically. Mm-hmm. So.
All right. Jalen?
With Brain. Season two. So season one, Brain is the one that keeps everybody out of trouble, right?
Mm-hmm.
Season two is a reverse. He gets mm-hmm. himself in, I guess I can say he gets himself in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And that nobody knows about but him. And he just try to keep it away from Larissa.
Jerron, I hope you're taking notes, brother. That sounds pretty good.
He just try to keep it away from Larissa, but like she said, all while their relationship is getting stronger, and I think that'll be some good stuff. I ain't gonna lie. Just off the top. Cause I never, that was a good question. Like off the top, I think that'll be a plot twist for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Cause a lot of people don't know the backstory for Brain.
Right.
So except Jerron, I don't even think nobody else in the cast know the backstory for me and Jerron. But yeah, so I think, yeah, that's how I would like Brain to, you know, be on season two.
Okay. And how should my gene evolve, Wendy?
I pray she's still alive, because I'm not doing any casket scenes, okay? On this, that's my limitation there. but I would like to see her just using some more of that motherly wisdom without, mm-hmm. you know, the cussing Christian part, but just that heart-to-heart of mother mm-hmm. to son, mother to daughter, you know, I've been there, done that, you know, and you're going around the wrong path, or this is the path that you should be taking. But some of that tough love be good.
Okay, good. Mm-hmm. And as Jerron, you got the last say on this, man. How do you think the character should evolve if there is a season two? Or is there something, or even new characters that you didn't get a chance to put into season one, or new, you know, story arcs that you wanted to explore, you just get a chance to? What do you think? Season, you know, especially on season two, one thing that, you know, I kind of regret on season one that didn't quite go the way that I planned, just for numerous reasons, were the barbershop scenes. Because, you know, and, you know, especially in black barbershops, that's where you get to the meat of conversations with stuff that's going on and everything. And I didn't quite get to hit that on these barbershop scenes the way I want it. So that's something I know come season two I want to kind of do. And like Malika was saying, you know, I kind of got into plans for Brian to evolve a little bit as well. So I kind of have a little idea in mind for season two.
Okay.
Just going to have to see how it goes.
Well, and don't beat yourself up, because I thought the barbershop scenes were pretty good, man. So you're doing good, man. You're doing great.
Appreciate it.
All right. So look, we've heard from everyone, most of everyone. We heard your answers. We've heard how sincere you are. And we heard that you love the show and that you love your characters. That's all well and fine and dandy. But guess what time it is, fellas and ladies? Guess what time? Just guess. I'll wait.
Party time?
It's party time, and not just any party time. We're going to play a quick game, super quick game of Down Bad, Fast Money.
Okay.
Let's go.
All right. So hold on. Let me get my have a tablet here. Got some questions for you.
Uh-oh.
All right. So first question is for Miss Malika. You ready? Sort of. All right. So Larissa's manager just called and asked if she could come in on a day off. Now, they had two call-ins at a job, and now they're short. What is the correct hood response to this question? You're muted, darling.
That's hard laughing.
Oh, what's the correct hood response?
What's the correct hood response?
That ain't my problem.
And you know what?
That is good.
Well, that is correct. Let's go to Jalen. All right, here's your question, sir.
Oh, man.
Okay, so we asked 50 dudes with boosie fades coming out of that barbershop in your neighborhood. Okay, yeah, boosie fades. You know boosie fades. Right? All right. How much does Brian charge for a walk-in guest? How much?
$25.
No, that is incorrect, sir. Incorrect. He charges $40. You should know that.
I know,
sir.
That one.
Yeah.
That's why you got cussed out.
Yeah, that's why you got cussed out, man.
Yeah.
For walking.
Yeah. I'm talking about he snapped on me, too.
He did. He did. Okay, Wendy. Wendy, yes. Wendy. Okay, mm-hmm. I need you to complete the following sentence.
Uh-oh.
Here you go. Between her brother and those raggedy-tailed children of mine, I can't get anywhere. Shoot, they ain't worth blank. Lord, forgive me.
Ish.
That is correct. We also would accept poop. Yes. Michael, we asked 100 broke baby daddies. How much did Sed give Brianna in episode number 1? How much?
He gave her, I think it was it $500? I'm going to go with $400.
That is incorrect. That's probably actually correct. But if you are a broke baby daddy, you probably gave her a very sweaty, crumpled up $20 bill. So that is the correct answer for a broke baby daddy. Okay.
Yes.
Damn, bro, yeah. Baby daddy.
I just went out and Ubered for 25 minutes. This is $20. Just take this. By the way, what you do with the last money I bought you? I bought
right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That was only that. $20.
I actually thought you saw how much money it was. I was going to say, you are amazing.
I want to know gas how in much my car. It
he gave it $200?
$200. Wow.
All right. I saw a $100 bill. I knew I saw a $100 bill.
Yeah. And I was thinking about it too. I'm like, wait, hold up. I know it was a good amount when I gave her. Damn, what was it? I just came up with $400 out the blue.
You're a good dude. We know that you're not a broke baby daddy. You're a good dude. You give your baby mama $500. That's amazing.
That man work at the nursery.
Yeah, I'll be taking care of Jimbo.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
I'll be playing the games with the headset. No, I'm just kidding.
Jerron, last question for you, sir. Okay. We asked 1.5 million, that is million, indie filmmakers. How many people does it take to write, direct, edit, grip, run sound, and produce a 9-episode series with 30-minute episodes each? How many?
If they're insane enough, one.
That is correct. It's you. You did all that. And did a great job with it, too, man.
I promise.
Congratulations. And the series is awesome. I'm really enjoying it. And I know a lot of people are as well. I want to thank everyone for joining me tonight on the Rod Kirby Show. Thank you, Wendy. No problem. Thank you, Malika. Thank you, Jerron. Thank you, Michael. Thank you, Jalen. Appreciate y'all. Hope y'all had fun.
We did. Oh, yeah.
We did. Thank you for having us.
A pleasure, man.
And if you didn't, I'll just edit you out. It's fine. I can do that. It's my show. I can do that.
I appreciate you for having us.
Absolutely. So look, I want to thank everyone for watching this episode. You can watch Down Bad. It's playing right now on Amazon, Amazon Prime Video. There you go. So watch Down Bad on Amazon Prime Video. It is free to you if you are a Prime member. Check it out. You will not be disappointed. Mm-hmm. You can connect with me by going to this Linktree link. It's linktr.ee/Rod Kirby. And of course, if you want to watch or listen to this show or even more episodes, you can find us on YouTube as well as Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and pretty much anywhere you get your podcast. So definitely check us out and enjoy more episodes. Thank you so much for watching The Rod Kirby Show. Thank you guys for joining us as well. And y'all have a good night. See you later.
Good night. Bye. Thank you.
Bye.
Take care. Good night. Thank you for tuning into The Rod Kirby Show. I want to invite you to listen to my interview with Down Bad series creator, Jerron Lockridge. Also, check out my review of episode 1 of the show as well. You can listen to more episodes here or watch the video podcast on YouTube by following the links in the episode description below. Thanks again for listening, and stay tuned for more indie filmmaking content coming soon.